Hello and welcome to another edition of the C-Squared Podcast. Your host, Curtis, my co-host, Aaliyah, and we are here today with a very special guest, the son of a person that we've had on the podcast probably four or five times already, an opinion leader in the metal community, along with his dad. This is Antonio from AMP Reacts, and he is going to be talking to us for the next probably 30 to 40 minutes about the show, music critiquing, and a bunch of other fun stuff, and probably some stuff we're going to surprise him with. So to start off, Antonio, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. And to start off, we're going to take it over to Aaliyah.
All right. So Antonio, for anyone who's listening who might not have become familiar with your channel yet, can you give a brief explanation, nutshell version of who you are and what you do in the metal scene?
Well, me and my dad are AMP Reacts, and we do. We started out with just doing reaction videos to new songs or oldies that he was that he really enjoyed, and just getting me into metal. And it's kind of from there become more, you know, with album reviews, interviews, and a bunch of other stuff.
Right. Now, how long have you been doing the YouTube channel with your dad?
Almost 5 years now.
Nice. Curtis, I saw you had a question. Sorry.
I did. I just wanted to follow up on one thing. You said you weren't into metal prior to doing the show. Is that right?
I was into more, I think at the time that we started, I was more into hip hop and like hard rock. So, and grunge. So I wasn't really, you know, heavy metal, stuff like that.
So now, before Aaliyah gets the next question, sorry, Aaliyah, I just want to go down this rabbit trail for a second here. So when you first kind of started then, so this was like 5 or 6 years ago, whatever it was, however long it was. So your dad basically said, I want to do this channel with you, blah, blah, blah type of a thing, but it's about metal. So were you like resistive to this at first, or were you kind of like, yeah, I want to do
this? Not really. The day he asked me, I was out with my friends, and one of them told me, hell, you should do it, because you know, they were telling me how much it would be really cool for, you know, me to hang out with my dad more, spend some more time. And if this is a way that he wants to do it, then I'm totally down. And I've always wanted to have a YouTube channel, seeing like YouTubers for years. So I thought it was a cool idea, a music-based reaction channel. And I was all for it right away.
My follow-up to Tenalia.
All right, that's good. That kind of answers my next question, because I had wanted to know if you were always into metal or if you kind of indoctrinated by your dad. But you were into hard rock before.
Yeah, I was into more like hard rock, like, you know, Three Days Grace type stuff. You know, Nirvana, Soundgarden, like grunge stuff. Like I was taking my baby steps.
Yeah.
And then obviously I was into a lot of hip hop, but now I'm obviously into metal, and I still listen to, you know, hip hop and grunge and all that stuff. I'm a very diverse listener. I listen to a lot of different things. So
yeah. And I think that's kind of the way culture is going anyway, is just to be more open-minded and listen to any genre.
Yeah.
I think that's a positive thing. So do you plan to continue your YouTube career?
I do. I think I'm going into college soon. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm still going to be living here for college. So I will be doing more videos, obviously. I don't know when the day will come where something kind of goes away, but I'm hoping never. I'm hoping that I'll always have time to kind of spend time with my dad and listen to music together.
Now, do you ever see it kind of developing into its own thing? Like you would start your own channel ever, or you think you're going to stick pretty much to the partnership with your dad and that channel?
I always wanted to do like gaming stuff on my own before we even had the channel. So I was always thinking about maybe I'll start Twitch or I'll do something like that. But those were always just thoughts. Like I never really, you know, went more into them, but it would be nice to kind of do my own thing also. So.
Sure. Yeah. Thank Curtis.
I wanted to ask a question, but I didn't want to cut you off, Olivia. So I have a burning question for you, Antonio. So now, do you ever get, now don't take this the wrong way, but do you ever get embarrassed by your dad making the dick jokes and stuff on?
No, I fucking love them. Oh, my God, sure.
So now, do you ever, okay, so now, how do I want to put this here? So do you ever think he takes it too far or anything like that? Or are you just like?
You know, I find them really funny, the dick jokes. I make them too, so it doesn't really matter for me. And especially like some of my friends at school, they see like the little clips he posts on Instagram from the videos. And if it gives other people laughs, then I don't see a reason why to be embarrassed by it.
Fair enough. Now, one more question I had, unless you have it and I've never noticed it, why do you not have a social media presence?
Oh, this is, I have gotten this question before, and it's, I actually don't know why. I'm not really a big social media person, other than the YouTube channel and the posts on Instagram of the AMP Reacts Instagram, which my dad is the person behind the stuff there. I'm not really a big social media guy. I always feel like people get wrapped up in, you know, their presence on social media and like texting and stuff. I'm more about like calling and just seeing people. Nothing against it either. Like I'll post a picture maybe of myself and him like once in a year, but it's not my thing.
Now to follow that up, are you going to, like, if the channel takes off even further in the next few years, like I'm assuming you don't want to be a full-time YouTuber, but if it took off like super big, would you be changing your mind? And
if it got, if it got super big and there was something, if there was a chance of me living off of stuff that the channel has created, I'd be super down because I love music and having something to do with music would be amazing. Obviously, I want to have like my college stuff as my baseline.
Yeah,
but I would totally be down if something bigger came out of this channel.
Makes sense. I'll let you go again, Olivia.
Along that line, actually, so outside of the YouTube channel, what are you pursuing?
I'm doing like IT stuff in college, more technology based stuff, just because I want something. I just want like a stable.
Something stable,
yeah. Yeah, but my passion is, you know, the music industry, and it would be a dream to have like a job at a record label or something like that. So,
you know. I can see that everybody needs an IT guy.
Yeah.
So, now I have a question for you based off of, I guess, generational differences. What would you say about kids your age and metal music? Like, I mean, this could just be my perspective as a millennial, but I don't really see major influential bands sweeping people away like they used to.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, for me, it's, I got into it because of someone else, you know. There wasn't that band that really swept me away. It was listening to the music over and over, and just, you know, developing this love for certain bands and certain genres. And I feel like if the younger generation were able to see like more shows live, I feel like it would build more connections with bands, and it would also blossom more younger metalheads.
So you think live performance is the key?
Live performance is the key, because some people, they don't have something to do, and then they're like, oh, concert's in town, let's go to the concert. And they kind of, it's by chance that they find this band. You know, here there's a lot of shows that are like 19 and over, so obviously the younger generation can't go to them, especially me. But the shows that aren't, I bet kids go there, they see them, they're like, I really enjoy this band, and then they kind of start from there. You know, there's always that starting point.
Mm. Want to jump in?
Go ahead.
So now, when you guys go to shows, do you guys always get the VIP treatment, or?
Not always, but I do see as, like, if we go to a show and we know someone from the band, I do feel like there's even that more connection from when they're on stage playing, because it's like, I know that person. Yeah, and yeah. Then seeing them play, it kicks something different, you know?
So now, how was it when you guys were in like Iceland? Because you guys were the quote unquote celebrity judges. So what was that like?
It was an amazing experience, and it's something I would love to do again, because it was more from the day of judging, seeing the winning band on stage, you know, get very emotional. It pulled at the heartstrings. It made me feel like, wow, like, I, even though my vote, like, couldn't mean anything if no one else kind of pitched in too, it still feels like I did something in the, like, I kind of pushed the needle a little bit forward there for that band. It was an amazing experience.
So now, were you, when you guys went to do the judging, what did you kind of feel? Did you feel any type of pressure or anything?
I didn't feel pressure. I feel like I judge the bands pretty fairly.
Sure.
So there was no pressure. It was kind of like sitting down and watching 8 different videos in a row. You know, I kind of judged them how I did in the videos. I listened to the songs, each song they played fully, and I really went off of, you know, how they sounded, what they could have tweaked a little bit, and that's how I kind of gave my rating, because on my score sheet, I gave ratings, and then that's how, in the end, I voted afterwards. And then I put the little, like, comments, because I really wanted to make the right decision.
Did anybody try to bribe you?
No.
God damn it. I was hoping to hear, like, a good bribery story here.
There's no bribery. I'm not corrupt, because I feel like I'm very open, especially in a couple of, like, in a lot of videos. If I think the song is bad, I tear into the band, and I know it's not like the best thing to do, but it's kind of like, I don't have a filter when it comes to, like, what I dislike, and I'm a very honest person. So if I don't like something, I'm going to tell you exactly why. I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
So has this led to problems for Antonio in dealing with bands ever?
I don't know. I don't know if it's led to problems.
Well, have you heard anything about tore someone a strip and they're like, what the fuck, kid?
See, I don't have a social media presence. So even if there was, see, that's the good thing about not having a social media presence, is I don't hear the backlash.
That's fair. But now, have you ever noticed, like, your dad getting it then?
No, I haven't.
I don't think anybody's ever said anything bad about either one of you two, actually, now that I think of it.
Yeah, I don't see the reason why. I feel like we're just two idiots sitting down watching some music videos and shooting the shit. I mean, that's what our whole channel is.
So now, I know Aaliyah wants to ask a question, but I got one more before I let her ask again. So now, when you are doing the reactions, I know Pedro has said that you guys just kind of do it. There's no pre-prep or anything like that. Is that really true? Or do you guys kind of like cheat beforehand and look?
It's fully true. It's not a reaction if we listen to it beforehand or whatever. We just sit down, we turn on the video, and we go with it. I mean, whatever happens, happens, right? There's no take two. It's what it is.
Fair. Okay. Aaliyah?
Now, you mentioned that you're, like, really authentic with your reactions. You're very honest and you don't sugarcoat things. Do you feel like over the course of the channel that you have become any more filtered in what you say? Like, are you ever, like, do you ever think about, like, how you frame your criticisms now?
I actually think I've become less filtered. I feel like in the past, there have been bands that we've listened to where I didn't fully express how much I felt about the band, either liked or disliked. I think I was more trying to look at it from the band's perspective. And I think now I've opened up more. So before, if I listened to a band and I didn't like it, I would just say I didn't like it. And there was like two or three things that I'd say, but I'd keep it very minimal. But now I just kind of go into every little detail. So I feel like I've just become, you know, more of a little dickhead.
You're the Simon Cowell of metal.
Yeah.
So now, have you ever given a band a bad reaction and then later you regretted it?
Yeah.
Which band?
Nightwish. It was the first time we listened to Nightwish, and Me and my dad didn't enjoy it. And this was because just before this, we heard Ginger, and I was still impressionable. So when I saw Four on stage, I'm like, oh, it's going to be like Ginger. And then it wasn't. And me and my dad both didn't enjoy it. But over the years, I mean, we've seen Nightwish twice now. I'm a huge fan of the band now. And do I regret the reaction before? I don't fully regret it, because looking back on it, it's part of the channel. Would I go back in time and beat myself up because of what I said? Yes.
Fair enough. Is there any other ones like that, or is Nightwish the main one?
I think Nightwish is the main one. I don't really, I mean, not videos we've done, but a band we've talked about on the channel, The Browning, which I saw them live and I didn't enjoy them, and I tore into them, and I felt so bad after listening to their newest album, because from like right now, that is one of my favorite albums. Is the newest Browning album.
Yeah, that one's a good one. Okay, so now let's say that you guys, okay, so your dad is normally the one that qualifies who gets to be reacted to, right? It's usually comes to you, right?
He'll tell me. Usually it's also out of our hands, because if it's a new video, it's a new video.
Like, yeah, yeah.
You have to do it. Or if it's Patreon poll winner or a request from someone in the comments or Patreon, we have to do it. But you know, once in a blue moon, we just choose one that we want to do.
Yeah.
And if it's like he comes up to me, hey, I want to do this one, I'm like, sure, whatever, because it's usually a band from an album review that he's already reviewed, so I trust him because we have a similar taste in a way. So I trust him. And then sometimes I'll put in my two cents and we'll react to a video that I request.
How often do you rather pick one specifically?
I cannot remember. I think this was an old one. The only one I can remember now is an old one. We did Visions Divine on the channel.
Yeah.
And that's a really old one. And that one was my request.
Fair. Is there a genre that you don't particularly like in metal?
Grindcore. I feel like anything that follows suit with grindcore. There's some death metal I'm not a big fan of. And a lot of deathcore I'm not a big fan of. Because in this area, a lot of the local bands are deathcore, grindcore, death metal. And I feel like they all follow the same, you know, formula. Yeah, but I do enjoy bands from those genres, maybe not grindcore, but definitely the deathcore and death metal genre. I do enjoy bands from those genres, like Fit for an Autopsy, and you know, those, it's because they do something different. But those three, I feel like I struggle a little bit with the majority.
And what's the genre that you like the most?
Ooh. Metal-wise.
Yeah, metal-wise.
Yeah, obviously. This is This is a tough one. I feel like at one point it was power metal, probably the start of the channel, but now it's teetering between more doom metal and melodic death metal.
Fair. Aaliyah, did you have a question before I continue?
I do, but you can ask another question. Those were two of my questions.
Were they? Okay, sorry. I was just going to ask you for, like, what are your recommendations for those two genres? This year only. You can't go back.
Oh, I can't go back in time?
No, it's got to be this year only. I'm asking for Antonio's recommendations for those two genres, like top three for this year.
Oh, this year. Oh, fuck.
What, dude?
Huh?
On the spot. You're put on the spot.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I can't think of anything. My brain is going blur. I feel like A Pale Horse Named Death is a good one when it comes to doom metal. I really enjoy A Pale Horse Named Death. Mariana's Rest is good. I can't, you're putting me on the spot here. It's weird. I know.
Practice for other interviews.
I know. But yeah, I feel like those two, when it comes to Draconian, definitely. Okay. I really enjoy them. I think after naming those ones, I feel like I'm more teetering to the doom side.
So now you're going to name your death metal one, since you named the doom ones. Can't get out of it that easy.
Melodic death metal.
You said death metal, so you tell me.
Did I say death metal?
He said his favorite was melodic death metal.
I guess I gotta go with more, you know, the Finnish stuff, like Winter Sun, Wolfheart.
Is there anything this year?
Anything this year? See, the thing is, more of this year stuff, like albums and stuff. My dad does the album reviews, and because he's really good with, like, that's the difference between us. Is that he's really good with just sitting there, listening to the album, and just going with it, listening to it like 8 times just to get the perfect little note. I'm doing a bunch of stuff, so it's very hard for me to do like an album review like he does. So I fully commend him for what he's doing. So like the newer stuff, if he doesn't put it on my phone, or he doesn't tell me about it, or it's not a band that like I'm super, super into, or, you know, a video we do, then I'm not going to know. Because also, I don't have a social media presence, so I won't obviously see it on, like, Twitter or stuff like that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's actually something that I've been curious about as well, because, I mean, do you think it's a generational thing as well, the consumption of a full album versus digital, like, individual tracks?
Yeah, I think it is, because for me, I'll listen to a full album if he puts it on my phone or if I go out of my way to buy it. So I can name a couple of albums I've gone out of my way to buy, like the past two Fit for an Autopsy albums. It's deathcore, but it's different deathcore. I enjoyed that band so much. So I went out of my way, I bought both, and I listened to them ad nauseum, because two amazing albums. The last Wolfheart album, I can name a bunch of bands that I've just gone and I've bought in the album, but then there's some that he just put on my phone and I've enjoyed the album too. But I do see that his listening to the album is a generational thing, because for me, if I enjoy a song that we do on the channel, I'll just listen to the song. I'll put it on my phone, listen to the song until we do another one, or until I get to hear another one through like YouTube. But he'll buy the album, or he'll get the album and you'll listen to the whole thing, because he used to do that when he was a kid, transferring tapes. So you have to listen to the album like 13 times to get 13 different tapes for his friends.
Yep.
So I see that too.
I want to interject. This is a question for Aaliyah, since we're talking about the two generational differences that to tie in with that. How aware are you as a band, because you're in a band? I don't know if you realize, Antonia, but you guys did a reaction on one of her videos at one point. Okay, cool. How aware are you guys of people like Antonio when you're picking your singles?
Well, I don't think that's really what we thought about when we picked the singles.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, it's more like you just listen to, like, for example, the reason we chose Wetland was our bassist suggested it, and he made some good points. He's like, you know, there's a repeated chorus. There's, like, this sing-songy part that people will, it's more of an earworm. And it's like, so it's more like you take into account things that make a good single, that make it something people want to listen to repeatedly. More than like just thinking about, of course you can take experts' opinions into account.
Not experts.
From, you know, what you've heard, but yeah. But yeah, that's more the process. Does that answer the question?
I think so. So the back over to Antonio. So like, what would make you actually want to listen to an album versus a single, other than what you said about your dad kind of spoon feeding it to you? Like, if, let's say Aaliyah's band, for example, because she's sitting here, let's say Shield of Wings wanted to Shield of Wings wants to have you listen to their entire album, for example. Like,
review, right?
So what would a band have to do to get someone like you to listen to an entire album versus just listen to singles?
See, to do a review,
not a review, just in general, I mean, to listen
in general.
Yeah.
See, in general, daily, I don't listen to, like, I can't really listen to a lot of music daily, you know, school and stuff. In the summer, I listen to way more. So in the summer, yeah. If a band sent the album, or they just asked, like, hey, you want to, if this is something you guys would like. And normally when people say this is something you guys will like, sometimes it's not really something we would like. We get a lot of those where people are like, hey, this song you may like, it's something you guys like. And then it's completely like out of our realm. So if it is something that is in my realm, I will definitely listen to the whole thing. But my dad should prepare that when I get hooked on like a certain song from an album or like a nice riff or something, that song will not be stopped. Like, it will play in the car ad nauseum. I'd never get sick of songs. Like, even if I listen to it like 100 times in a row, I will never get sick of it.
So in other words, there's no way to get you to listen. Like, a band could make it an album like totally attractive to you 100%.
No, there's totally a way.
What's the way then?
I mean, Fit for an Autopsy. I don't know why I keep saying, but like, they did it in a way. If it's a band that I've listened to before and I fell in love with the band,
yep.
No questions asked. They didn't even have to ask. It's already on my phone. I'm already listening to the whole thing from start to finish. If it's a band that I've never listened to before, I've got to listen to a couple of singles to really get my bearings, and then I'll listen to the whole album. Because for me, I see albums like TV shows, where once I listen to a song in the album, I have to listen to the whole thing, no matter if I don't like it or not.
Sure.
So I'm always very cautious about going into albums because that's how I am. If the album has 12 songs and I'm on song number one and I hate it, then I'm just going to be in a hell ride for the next couple of songs because my conscience doesn't allow me to go to any other music. I have to finish the album.
So do you yourself, I know your dad does, but do you yourself actually collect any physical music at all?
I mean we have the man cave downstairs with all the CDs, mm-hmm. The pop vinyls, everything is down there. I think out of all the stuff that we have as like a collection, my favorite type is the cassettes.
Wow. Okay.
Like, we don't have many of them.
Okay.
I would definitely like to get more. But my favorite stuff is the cassettes. And it's just...
I wonder.
I don't know what it is. I mean, we have, like, our record player can play records and cassettes. Mm-hmm. And I love the artwork of the records themselves. I really do. but since we don't have a lot of cassettes, I always feel like those are really, really cool. And they also bring my dad back. So, you know.
I can relate. I like the cassette too. I don't know if I'd say it's my favorite. I do like it over CD a lot of the time, but
wow, we have so many CDs. So I think I just more see special. The I feel like I see them. Yeah, this is more special.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Now, how about this question? If I could interject, Curtis, yep. from your perspective as a fan of metal, do you think, is there a way you could articulate what makes a metal band stand out to you enough that you would want to invest in, listen to their album, follow them?
I mean, it depends on the genre. It really does. I guess I don't really think I can go. Okay, I guess I'll go. I have to go back to deathcore because we were talking about this in Iceland. So I guess it's good. I can just bring this up.
Yeah, for sure.
Obviously not the biggest fan of normal traditional deathcore, but when certain melodies are added, or you know, there's symphonic elements, it can really broaden that band. It not only gets the people who are into deathcore, it gets people who are into like more melodic stuff or symphonic stuff. It's the same with black metal. That's also a good one. I know I'm not the hugest fan of traditional black metal, but you know, if there's some symphonic elements behind it, some nice fast riffs, you know, some stuff that can really get me into it, then I'm all for it. But I feel like a lot of genres, their bass sound is not my cup of tea. It's whatever can build from that bass sound that in the end, you know, I enjoy.
So you think bands may be departing from the bass genres and building into their own unique thing could be what makes them stand out?
Yeah. There was a band in Iceland that we listened to, and me and my dad talked about it, where their sound is very, there's not much you can really go with their sound. Their sound was their sound. You can't really branch off from what they got without turning it into completely something else. And I think when you're in a band and you stick yourself into that, situation, over time, you may be the talk of the town now, but I feel like over time, you just blend into the other, you know, bands of the same sound. I think you should always think about, hey, you know, in a couple of years, we may have to change something up, may have to do something that, you know, to us, because I feel like to the band, it should always sound good to the band before everyone else. I feel like the band should enjoy making their music, you know, for themselves and not just think about, you know, what other people, obviously you have to think about what other people enjoy, but you don't want to play a genre or play a sound that you're not into yourself. I feel like that's kind of torture in a way. But if you can have your band and then still build off of certain tracks in an album, have them a little bit different, add some cool elements that are not really, you know, don't pertain to the band, but fit well into the track itself, doesn't feel like it's out of the blue. I mean, that's a good way of implementing stuff into your band that can appeal to someone like me.
Nice. So, that's about all I've got. Curtis, do you have any other questions before we wrap?
I would say we got about 5 minutes left max. So let's ask Antonio a couple goofy questions. So Tim Hortons, what do you think? Yay or nay?
I work there.
So you're not allowed to say.
I'll answer the question.
Tim Hortons, working there, pretty good. And the stuff there, pretty good.
Pretty good. Not fabulous, but pretty good. I don't want to get you fired, so I won't get it. Okay, so then out of all the Tim Hortons items on the menu, which one would you recommend as an employee of Tim Hortons?
I guess the ice cap.
The ice cap? What about for actual food?
For actual food, yeah. I mean, the donuts are good. I guess you go with the Timbits.
Which specific donut though, or if you recommending, because it's a lot of American listeners here. So
For me, I don't know what the Americans call, for us it's honey cruel. I guess it's French cruller.
Oh, I love the honey cruels. Those are like the only good things that Tim Hortons. I love them.
They're light. They don't feel like I don't feel sad after eating one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the other one, you just feel like you're going to, like, balloon up.
I feel bloated.
Yeah. No, I get it. Aaliyah, you usually have a fast food question. You want to shoot that over to him? And I got one more.
Sure. This summer, what album are you going to crank out of your speakers with the windows down in your car at the red light?
Ooh.
I don't know. You know, probably not an album from this year, but
that's fine.
Definitely
an album from a different
year. If I'm at a red light and I can crank something down, it's got to either be from Nanowar of Steel or Electric Callboy.
Electric Callboy.
Good answers. Good answers. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. And so then my final question. Actually, no, I got two more questions. Give us your top three albums of all time recommended for metal.
Oh no.
Yep.
Three. You know, I've only listened to like a few full like
songs. Yeah, sorry, songs. Songs.
Songs. Yeah.
Three songs.
Okay. I'm just gonna go off of stuff I'm listening to now. I think I'm just gonna go from stuff I'm listening to. I can't do over time, it would kill me. But from now, I guess I'll go Midnight Sun from the new Creator album. I really enjoy that song. When we did the video, my dad wasn't a big fan of the song, but now he likes it. Sun Eater by Lorna Shore.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of the song. Two Towers by Fit for an Autopsy from the new album.
Good choices. Now, I find it funny that you picked Lorna Shore right after you were going off about deathcore not being your favorite genre, but
they're one That's of the bands. Different. But they're one of the bands that do it different. It's like Carnifex.
I agree. I think that's probably one of the best songs of the year so far. I'll agree with that. Let me think if there's anything else we want to ask you before we go. Oh, one last thing. What's the most? Which one of your episodes would you recommend a newbie to watch as their first one, other than the newest one?
Oh, Herophant by Septic Flesh.
No. Which one of your YouTube?
Yeah. That video we did for Herophant of Septic Flesh. Not for the song, but for the start of the video. Our banter at the start of the video is definitely worth watching that video. I think of today. That is one of the videos that I've gone back the most with my friends just to show them, and they always die of laughter just because of how random it is and how it has nothing to do with the band.
Actually, we didn't ask you about that. Do anybody? Are you kind of like a little mini celebrity at your school, or do people not care or what? We didn't actually ask you.
When the channel started, yeah, I mean, but it's more of like people joking around, and at the start of the channel, people made fun of it and stuff like that, but I never really let it get to me.
Yeah.
And now it's just who I am. I mean, when people see me, if they already knew from before that the channel was a thing, they'll ask me how's it going with the channel and stuff like that. I feel like it's been more it's died down.
You haven't had anybody like try to befriend you just because of the fact that you got that connect?
No.
Okay. I thought there was gonna be some kind of stories like that. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. And my final question to you, unless Lalia's got one, is what has been your most memorable experience when meeting a band member? And who was it?
I think meeting Thomas from Wolfheart, meeting the guys from Wolfheart was an amazing experience, because the first time meeting them, they were on their Canadian tour and they came over and they slipped in our front, like they parked the van and they slept there, and then the next day they came over and we had a barbecue. Nice. And that was the first time something like that ever happened, and I was all giddy and stuff. I think that was just that was amazing. That was an amazing experience.
It's awesome. Okay, do you have any final words you would like to say before Alia finishes us off?
Not really. I you know, check out the channel. Thank you so much for having me on. You know, it was the first time doing one of these, and I'm really happy with the questions and everything.
Aw, thanks. Thank you so much for coming on, too.
Thank you.
And until next time, everyone, make like a bull and throw those horns up.